Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 and a clear example of following Christ seen recently in the news. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, this week on the At the Table podcast, I'm going to piggyback on last week's message, which was life short, live weird, right? Kind of a weird one, but it is, that's the point. But we're going to look at the response to this message, but specifically we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 as an example of, are we living weird? So in my message, and you can look at it, I've got it linked in the show notes below. The message was the road less traveled, and we looked at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and this idea that Jesus saying, look, I am the gate, come through me. Take the road that's less traveled. Go on the narrow road, the small gate, but it's difficult, but go this way. And so it got me thinking practically, and I'm going to hit on this more this week, talking about holiness, living the life that, taking the road that's less traveled in this world is difficult, and we're going to stand out. And this week coming up, we're going to talk about living holy. What does that mean? Set apart, different, weird, as they would say. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but it got me thinking today as I was just reflecting on this idea of living weird, living a life that's hard, different than this world, that's not normal, that's not in a way that the world would say, hey, do this, and this is what you get. But rather, Jesus says, hey, no, live this way, and this is what you get. Well, it led me to Galatians chapter 5, and I've shared this passage before, but just verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And so living weird, living countercultural, living in a godly way, living like Jesus has called us to live, it is hard. Our inclination as sinners, and FYI, we're all sinners, the Bible says so, we're all sinners, we've all fallen short, but in Christ, through his work on the cross, we have been, and his resurrection, we have been given freedom from slavery. And that's what the Bible tells us time after time after time, that sin is a slavery to self. Okay? You either are going to be a slave to the gospel, a slave and a surrendered fully to Jesus, or you're going to be a slave to yourself, and the result is going to be sin, brokenness, moral decay. We see it everywhere. We see it probably in our own lives. But further on in Galatians chapter 5, so we're reminded here, Paul's saying, look, listen, it is for freedom that Christ has let us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by slavery, slavery to sin. We are given freedom in Christ. That's what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift. No one can boast. And then we go on further and it says, for you are God's workmanship. You are created to do his work. You're set free from sin and you're given a new calling. And in 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us that we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. And because of this, we're given the mission and the message of reconciliation. We're called to be Christ's ambassadors for him. We're called to be his ambassadors, his spokesperson, because Jesus, who had no sin, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we can be, as Paul says here in Galatians chapter 5, we can be set free. Wow. What a challenge. Do you desire to be free from sin? Do you desire to be set free from sin, no longer bound by the shackles of sin, but rather be free for the sake of the gospel. I strongly encourage this. If you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus, let me just put it to you like this. If you feel lost, if you feel broken, if you feel empty because this world has nothing to give you and you've tried everything, consider turning to Jesus. Jesus came, lived the perfect life, was the sacrifice that died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. Listen, the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. But Jesus took that penalty on the cross, and then he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, revealed himself to many people, 400 in one of the largest viewings, and then told his disciples to therefore go and tell the world about this and watch what happens. And Paul tells us, who was one of those converts, by the way, from the early church, says that you can be receive freedom in Christ, freedom to live differently. But my question today was none of that, really. That's just a backdrop. My question is, how do you know if you're living for Christ or living for sin? Because see, this is the bottom line. The Bible tells us you're going to be a slave to something. You're going to be a slave to sin, or you're going to be a slave to God. And I would rather be a slave to the Almighty God, who offers freedom from brokenness. Well, further down in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this, starting in verse 16. Says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. As anyone who's ever been not a Christian, lived their life, and then found Christ and lived their life after that, they would tell you this, that the biggest difference is they felt called and led to do things that they had never done before. Instead of thinking about themselves, they thought about others. Instead of being a slave to the sinful desires, they no longer did that. They lived by the Spirit. Let's continue on. Verse 17 says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Conflict. In the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature? They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, you're not bound by the same results of sin. You are a child of God. Verse 19, here's the point of today's talk. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live by this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And let me tell you this. Listen up. If any of those are consistent and regular behaviors in your life, red flag. Be concerned. Take it to the Lord and say, God, I hear these things and I don't want them. I want to live by the Spirit. But in verse 22, and like I like to say, the word but is a very powerful word in the Bible, an English word, but a powerful word because it implies that something is going to change. I like to say but implies that then God enters the fray. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. We're no longer living that way. And we no longer live by those passions and desires. In other words, crucified, we've put that to death. We've surrendered it to God. We said that is no longer us. We're now a child of God. Verse 23, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. See, the key point to this is I love a couple of points. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, that implies that all of those things are qualities we should see in ourselves in different levels following the Lord. Are you a loving person? Are you a joyful person? Are you a peaceful person? Are you a patient person? Do you have much kindness? You have goodness? Are you a faithful person? Are you gentle in spirit? Meekness maybe is another way to say that. Self-control. See, self-control is maybe misnamed a little bit. It's spirit controlled, right? It goes on to say, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, you no longer live by the sinful nature. You've crucified it. You've set it apart in its passions. You're no longer seeking after idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, enviness, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Anything there, sinful natures are obvious, sexual immorality, any of those. You now are a person that can be recognized as one that is loving, that is joyful, that is peaceful, that has patience, that is a kind, a gentle, faithful person, gentleness, and has much self-control, a spirit control. That is the difference. You know, why do I get so passionate about this? Why? I think one of the biggest issues in the church, the Big C church in America today, is we are too comfortable in America. We are. We're too comfortable. It's too easy to go to church on Sunday, to say we love Jesus, and to live the rest of our week to never be bothered. Sure, we might not do bad things, but are we a follower of Jesus? Are these fruit of the Spirit evident in our life? Is there a change? Is it different than the world? That's a fair question. Is our life different than the world? When we face adversity, when we face hard times, when we face trials, do we respond differently? One more example this week. Again, I mentioned it last week, and I'll just come back to it again. Watching the memorial service for Charlie Kirk and his wife saying the words, this is why Charlie came back. Why did he go to the colleges? He go to free young men. Galatians chapter 5, he wanted to show them another way. And because of that other way, he was killed. But his wife, oh boy, man, she is a fierce follower of God. If you've followed her before, if you don't, just follow her now. For her to be less than 2 weeks from the death of her husband and to get up there and say, that young man that is accused of doing that, that's why Charlie went to the campuses. And she said, I forgive him. Why? Because Christ's work on the cross. That has major implications. It changed her life. She was living differently. She was showing an example of a fruit of the Spirit. Did she have anger? I bet she does. Did she have remorse and frustration and all these things, these negative or just emotions that occur? Absolutely. But we can read in Galatians chapter 5, we say a follower of Christ is one that has crucified the sinful nature and its desires. It was clear in that statement that she did. She was trying to live as an example of a follower of Jesus Christ. So what's the flip side to that? Well, sadly, right after her, the president spoke, and he said a lot of good things, but he made this statement that another pastor asked me about. What did I think? He got up there. President Trump said this. Go listen to it. He said, well, I know Charlie's wife, Erica, has forgiven her enemies. And she says, love your enemies, right? That's what Erica said. She said, the response to hate can't be hate. It has to be love. We must respond with love. And what an example she gave. And then Trump opens his mouth and says, well, I can't love my enemies. I hate them. So I'm not here to tell you that President Trump is not a follower of Jesus. That can't be answered. I don't know. I am not a prophet. I am not God himself. But I can tell you there's times when he had an opportunity there to lead and to be respond in an appropriate manner, and he didn't. And so I was disappointed. That just gives us an example. Maybe he just has a long way to go. I don't know. But the challenge was for me. Let's make this practical. Nowhere near as profound as what Erica Kirk or Trump said. I was thinking about this yesterday as I watched an Instagram video. And it said, don't allow things into your life that don't need to be allowed. And I was like, well, that's weird. The basic idea was, the caption was like, don't give energy to things that don't need to be allowed into your framework. Okay. And so the video was watching this driver who was an Uber driver, I think, was driving in maybe New York City. I don't know. It was a hot mess. There was cars everywhere. It looked like there was four lanes of traffic going in one direction, and he was going straight. And this person came up beside him on the right, caught in front of him, slowed down, nearly stopped, causing him almost to hit the car. And then the person just slowly worked their way over and was parking to the left. You catching the picture there? So four lanes of traffic. He was in the left lane, leftmost lane, except for those cars that were parked. And this other vehicle came flying in front of him, nearly cut him off, nearly caused him to wreck, stop. And so how did he respond? Well, first, before I tell you how he responded, I could tell you how I would have responded. I would have gotten angry, right? We had every right to be angry. Someone almost cut us off, but this guy responded. He chuckled. He just smiled. He didn't get upset. He just waited. He just let this car get across and get where it needed to be. Then he went on his way. And it got me thinking, how many times in my life do I allow negative things and do I respond negatively when I don't need to allow those things into my life? Why do I tell you that? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives us a clear calling, right? How we are to respond. We are to be different. We're not to respond the same way the world would respond. Don't get angry. Try to start a fight. Respond with patience. It's almost like you guard your heart and stop. So as you go through this week, think about those things. Are you allowing things into your life that don't need to be allowed? Are you giving energy to things that don't need to have energy? Are you responding negatively when really we should be stopping and surrendering it and responding in a peaceful manner? Are you living a life that looks more like this world and the sinful desires of the heart in the beginning of Galatians chapter 5? Or are you living a way that your heart looks more like that of the end of Galatians chapter 5? Fair question. Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, everybody, have a good day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.